Once upon a time, there were four little rabbits.
How old are you, Johnny? She asked.
16.
We few, we happy few, we band of brothers.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
A wise old king once said, "Of the making of books, there is no end." How true today. Of the overabundance of writing published each year, what's worth reading? The answer is simple. Read only the best. Come join the discussion on Just the Best Literature.
Hello again, everyone. Thanks for listening in today. For today's program, I've invited in our Imperial Academy literature instructors for a panel discussion of Hamlet. With me in the studio today are Mark Jenkins, and he is our Imperial Academy English Department head. Mark also teaches college English comp and at our college. We do have Brandon Nice, who is the assistant to our principal, Wayne Turgeon. He also teaches high school English. And we have James Brandon, who teaches middle school and high school English. And I'm your host, Dennis Leap, and I teach college English language literature and Shakespeare. So welcome, gentlemen.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here.
Good to be here.
It's good to have all of you here. This is the august body of instructors here on campus. So what we've done for all of you listeners out there is we have organized our program around our favorite scenes from Hamlet. I mean, you have to pay these guys something to get them to come in and talk on the radio, so I thought I'd let them discuss their favorite scenes. So now you're really going to crack up because I'm going to go first. And, you know, the host always gets to go first. So let me begin. The thing that is my favorite scenes from the play, and we did have a little meeting the other day to set this up, but my favorite scenes in the play is when Hamlet pretends to be mad, and the audience is in on this, and of course the characters are not. But if you have been reading your play, and hopefully you have, because I've given you months now to read it. In Act 1, Scene 5, at the very end of the terrifying ghost scene, Hamlet concocts this plan to pretend he's mad to cover up the knowledge that the ghost has just revealed to them. Now, this is kind of a really terrifying scene. Branagh does it very well in his film. And, of course, when I saw the RSC production, it was really kind of terrifying as well. But it is really quite amazing. Now, I'm going to start for the Pelican. I know that our instructors here at Imperial Academy, they use the Folger. But I know I've asked all of our listeners to use the Pelican. So if you want to turn to your Pelican, it's going to be around page 36, line 167, and Horatio, by the way, at the end of the scene is he has his doubts at the beginning of the scene whether the ghost is even real, and then he sees the ghost, but he never hears the ghost. But then at the end of Act 1, Scene 5, he does not only have seen the ghost, he now hears it, and he's really kind of mesmerized by the thing. So I'm going to break into the middle of the scene. And Horatio is speaking. He says, "Oh, day and night, but this is a wondrous strange." And of course, Hamlet kind of comes in here, and he kind of sets brings him back to reality. Hamlet says, "And therefore, as a stranger, give it welcome. There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophy." So he kind of smacks Horatio in the face to kind of, get him jarred from the ghost. He says, "But come, as before, never so help you mercy. How strange or odd summer I bear myself, as I perchance hereafter shall think meet to put an antic disposition on." And so the ghost wants them all to swear that they're not going to reveal anything about what they've heard from the ghost. And so Hamlet concocts this plan that he is going to put on this madness or this antic disposition. And now he's telling Horatio that you, at such time seeing me, shall never with arms encumbered thus, or thus headshake, or by pronouncing of some doubtful phrase. So it's kind of like he's saying, look, when you see me acting like the Rain Man, I don't know if any of you have ever seen the Rain Man. He's saying, if you see me acting like that, you know I'm just acting, essentially what he's telling, Horatio, and of course he's telling the audience the same thing. Or by pronouncing of some doubtful phrase as, well, we know, or we could, and if we would, or if we list to speak, or there be, and if they might, or such ambiguous giving out to note that you know aught of me, this do swear. So grace and mercy at your most need help you. And then you hear the ghost from beneath the ground say, swear, you know. So and then Hamlet talks to the spirit. He says, rest, perturbed spirit. So that's where Hamlet says at the very beginning that he's going to act like he's mad. So the audience supposedly is the one that are really cued into this. And so now the next time this is brought up in the play, and again, fellows, if you just let me get this set up for a second, then we can have you guys chime in here. So, but if we go to Act 2 and then Scene 1, and I'm going to go to, I think it's around line 75, if that helps you guys. But the first time in the play, then, where we run across Hamlet's madness, it really, as we don't see him mad, what we have is Ophelia tells her father about Hamlet's madness. And so, you know, Shakespeare was kind of a genius in the way he set things up. But Ophelia comes screaming into her father, and she's really upset. And, of course, the father has just finished a scene where he's getting his servant to spy on his son Laertes because he wants to know what he's really doing in Paris. He's supposedly going to school, but, of course, his father suspects he's just enjoying the Paris nightlife. So here comes Ophelia in, and she says, Polonius says to her, how now, Ophelia, what's the matter? And Ophelia says, oh, my lord, I have been so affrighted. Polonius goes, well, with what? In the name of God. Ophelia says, oh, my lord, as I was sewing in my closet, Lord Hamlet, with his doublet all unbraced, no hat upon his head, his stockings fouled, ungartered, and down-givied to his ankle, pale as his shirt, his knees knocking each other, and with a look so piteous in purport, as if he had been loosed out of hell, to speak of horrors, he comes before me. And so we can see that Hamlet is really quite a good actor, and so he's acting this whole scene out in front of Ophelia. And then Polonius, who just proves he really has no discernment, says, wow, he's mad for thy love. Polonius has no idea what Hamlet really knows. So Ophelia says, my lord, I do not know, but truly I do fear it. Polonius, he says, what said he? He took me by the wrist and held me hard, and goes he to the length of all his arm, and with his other hand thus over his brow, he falls to such perusal of my face as would draw it. Long stayed he so. At last a little shaking of my arm, and thrice his head was waving up and down. He raised his sigh so piteous and profound as it did seem to shatter all his bulk and end his being. That done, he lets me go, and with his head over his shoulder turned, he seemed to find his way without his eyes, for out of doors he went without their helps, and to the last bend their light on me. And so you can see again, Hamlet is just a great actor, and he's acting all these things out in front of Ophelia. Now Polonius, here's his summation again. He says, come, go with me. I will go seek the king. This is the very ecstasy of love, whose violent property foredoes itself and leads the will to desperate undertakings as oft any passion under heaven. So I think that's a great description and words from Ophelia. And if you could just imagine Hamlet as an actor and acting this out, I think it would probably have been quite humorous to the audience, because we know he's acting and he's not really crazy, but Ophelia doesn't do it. She doesn't know that he's just acting. So, come on, let's get some of you guys to weigh in on this. Your thoughts on this scene. And there's one more we can talk about in just a second.
I guess my initial thoughts go to the setup for the scene, that you had throughout Act One, this entire situation where the focus is on the ghost. I mean, that line, something is rotten in the state of Denmark, really goes to what's happening. You've got these famous lines, there is more in heaven and earth than is dreamt of in your philosophy, the time is out of joint, all of these things that point to everything being discombobulated in Denmark. And Hamlet says, well, I'm going to exploit that, because Hamlet's planning to try to find out what the king's real motives are. Now, this is a strange thing for Hamlet to do, honestly. I mean, if you compare him to Fortinbras, who's in a very similar situation, Fortinbras goes around trying to take over land, taking over his country. Hamlet says, I'm going to pretend to be mad, and hires a troupe of actors. It's a little bit unusual to hire a theater troupe to take care of things. He goes to Polonius, like you're saying, and Polonius at one point says, 'Tis madness, but there's method in it, because he recognizes that Hamlet is completely mad, and he says, but every once in a while there seems to be some sort of method to what he's doing. This alone should give it away to him. There's method to it because he's not crazy.
Right, right. So it does reveal, I think, Hamlet's character, and of course there are some scholars out there that feel that Hamlet really, he does... In one scene, you know, someone asks him why he's upset, and he says because essentially what he says is I got passed over for advancement. And so we talked about this a little bit the last couple of times that Hamlet probably was not there was this college of electors in Danish law that did not, once they knew that old Hamlet was dead, they probably chose Claudius to be king. Now, there's a lot of scholars on both sides of this argument that he did usurp the throne, but it just seems like, you know, Hamlet may be away at Wittenberg, but it looks like he's doing a lot of playing, meaning he's acting, he's hanging around with, you know, actors, he's hanging around with, you know, not that we want to disgrace actors, but, you know, they're not necessarily the most... let's say, conservative part of the citizenry, you know, even in America today. So even though a lot of them are politically motivated. But, you know, we'll get to the gravedigger scene here in a little bit in the later part of this program. But he doesn't even know the history of Denmark. And so, why does he choose just to go mad? Why doesn't he just go ask questions? I mean, that's really interesting. I mean, would a real prince call in a troop of players? You know, and then again, his best, you know, card or his best step that he can take is to act himself. So I think it does kind of point out there is some real flaws in Hamlet's character.
It's interesting. I think you alluded to it as well, how he chooses to go to Ophelia first, which is a little bit of a clever move. But it also sets up one of the greater, I think you said you're going to discuss this in a later episode, but with Ophelia, just her arc, if you will, she's obviously, they're entangled with each other at the beginning, and he chooses her to kind of start playing mad with, and doesn't let her in on the joke, even if you want to call it a joke, even though he tells Horatio about it. And that leads to all sorts of consequences for her, but it also gets things moving for him as far as he doesn't have to act mad in front of the people he's actually accusing or suspecting. And so it's a little bit of a clever move on his part, but it's also interesting because, like you said, he has some flaws in his character, and he in a way, emotionally abuses her in that way because she is attached to him.
Yeah, it's really kind of sad what he does to her next. If we just go we'll skip ahead now, but it's page 49 in the Pelican for all of those you that have the Pelican. But he really does trap Ophelia again a second time, and it's really quite abusive actually what he does to her, and. I actually just gave you the wrong page. Let's just go back to a funny scene Let's go to page 49. Again, this isn't the Ophelia scene. This is actually when he's with Polonius. And this is really kind of a funny scene where he does play madness with Polonius. And that is page 49. Let's talk about this one first. And it is a way where Shakespeare gets some humor into the play. And these are some pretty intense scenes. And, of course, the very next scene with Ophelia is very intense. In fact, he gets kind of abusive. But right before this, Polonius and Ophelia run off to the king and queen, and they say, oh, we know what his problem is. We know why Hamlet's depressed. We know why he's discouraged. He's madly in love with Ophelia, and I told Ophelia to break it off with him. So, you know, he's just going a little crazy because of, you know, of what Ophelia has done. But Polonius then tries to kind of get things smoothed over with Hamlet, but Hamlet really kind of plays mad with him too. So this starts around, this is Act 2, Scene 2. It's around line 171. And here's Hamlet enters reading a book, and this is really, it's quite funny. And the queen even looks out on Hamlet, and she makes the comment, but look, where sadly the poor wretch comes reading. And Polonius feels like he's going to solve the problem. He says, away, I do beseech you both, away. And then he says, I'll board him presently. Oh, give me leave. And then he says, how does my good Lord Hamlet? And Hamlet looks at him and says, well, God of mercy. Polonius says, you know me, my lord? He says, excellent. Well, you are a fishmonger. He says, not I, my lord. He says, then I would you were so an honest man. Honest, my lord? Aye, sir, to be honest, as this world goes, is to be one man picked out of 10,000. So Hamlet is playing the game. He knows that Polonius is playing a game, and he's telling him to be honest. And, of course, Hamlet does say, in his society, one out of 10,000 are honest. Polonius says, that's very true, my lord. Hamlet says, for if the sun breeds maggots in a dead dog, being a good kiss and carrion, have you a daughter? And Polonius says, I have, my lord. He says, not her let walk in the sun. Conception is a blessing, but as your daughter may conceive, friend, look to it. And then Polonius says aside, how say you by that? Still harping on my daughter, yet knew me not at first? He said I was a fishmonger. He is far gone. And truly in my youth I suffered so much extremity for love, but very near this, I'll speak to him again. What do you read, my lord? And then this famous answer is, words, words, words. And so, again, that usually brings out a lot of laughter. So there, Hamlet is taking his shots at Polonius and saying that he doesn't really know him, but then he talks about the daughter. And that's where, when Mark was talking about Hamlet, is Polonius kind of figures it out, but he's not really sure because, basically, I think Polonius is kind of a ditz. He's not really all that bright anyway. But now let's go to page 64, and this is really the most abusive scene. And, of course, Branagh really plays it up really, really kind of violent. And when we did our interviews with Papa Esadu and Natalie Simpson, I know their director, Simon, had this scene as it's kind of an abusive scene as well. But this would be Act 3, Scene 1, and it's lines 89 through 161. And this is where Hamlet really gets kind of abusive with Ophelia. Now, this is just after his really big soliloquy, to be or not to be, and we're not necessarily going to talk about that today. And we do want to talk about that in a future program. But right at the end of soliloquy, he says, oh, the fair Ophelia, nymph in thy orisons, and orisons just means prayers, be all my sins remembered. And Ophelia says, good, my lord, how does your honor for this day amenny? And Hamlet says, I humbly thank you well. And he says, my lord, I have remembrances of yours that I have longed to redeliver. I pray you now receive them. Hamlet says, no, not I. I never gave you naught. And, you know, so he's now acting mad again with Ophelia. He says, my honored lord, you know right well you did. And with them words so sweet, breath composed, as made the things more rich, their perfume lost. Take these again, for to the noble mind rich gifts wax poor when givers prove unkind. There, my lord, aha! Are you honest? My lord, are you fair? What means your lordship? That if you be honest and fair, your honesty should admit no discourse to your beauty. Good beauty, my lord, have better commerce than with honesty. Aye, truly, for the power of beauty will sooner transform honesty from what it is to a bawd than the force of honesty can translate beauty into his likeness. This was sometimes a paradox, but now the time gives it proof. I did love you once. And so Hamlet is saying, look, you're beautiful, but are you honest? And Hamlet does suspect that, the king and Polonius are looking in on this whole scene. And Brenna does a great job of showing that. Ophelia says, indeed, my lord, you made me believe so. Hamlet says, you should not have believed me, for virtue cannot so inoculate our old stock, but we shall relish of it. I loved you not. I was the more deceived, Ophelia says. And then here's where he gets really abusive with her. He says, get thee to a nunnery. Why wilt thou be a breeder of sinners? I am myself indifferent, honest, but yet I could accuse me of such things that it were better my mother had not borne me. I am very proud, revengeful, ambitious, with more offenses at my beck than I have thoughts to put them in, imagination to give them shape or time to act them in. What should such fellows as I do crawling between earth and heaven? We are errant knaves all, believe none of us. Go thy ways, go to a nunnery. Where is your father? And she says, at home, my lord. He said, let the doors be shut upon him, that he may play the fool nowhere but in his own house. Farewell. And so we can end there. But it does, he does really get abusive. And of course, in the film and even in the play, he throws her to the ground and again keeps telling her to go to a nunnery. And of course, in our modern age, we can think that he's telling her to go to a convent. But really, in Shakespeare's England, a nunnery could also be a whorehouse. And so, they've had some relation. So, go ahead. Anybody want to chime in on that?
This is my interpretation of it. So, I think right here, Hamlet starts playing mad. And here is actually his first taste that his acting is actually having real consequences. He acts mad around her, and she runs off and tells her dad, and he says, cut it off. I don't think Hamlet, when he starts doing it, believes that it's actually going to result in anything. And when she hands back the letters he gave her, he actually gets angry and mad that he's that it might be over between them. She's actually, as we say in modern parlance, turned the corner, and doesn't want anything to do with him anymore. And I think that's the play is pretty complex, but that Hamlet realizes his actions have, we'll get into some other stuff when in my section, but he realizes his actions are having real consequences when, to him, a lot of it's a game just because he's so brilliant and has outsmarted people for probably his whole life, and now something he can't control is happening.
Right. I agree with you, Bren. I think that it's finally, it's now, it's not a play anymore. It's real life. And, of course, we know when we get into the gravedigger scene, he and Laertes go after it, and he says, I loved her. And so not only is he a great actor, he's also a liar, but so is just about everybody else in the play. So that comes across pretty clearly. Okay, so that's my favorite scenes. Now, well, let's just take a quick break, and then we'll come back, and we'll hear what Mark has to say about his scene. Well, as you may have suspected, the instructors panel has a lot to say about Shakespeare's Hamlet. Because we're out of time for today's program, we'll begin with Mark Jenkins' discussion of the famous scene between Hamlet, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, and the music pipe, next time on Just the Best Literature. Please write me any comments you may have to jbl@pcog.org. You can follow JBL on Twitter at jbliterature1. JBL now has a Facebook page. Please like this page at facebook.com/justthebestliterature. Until next time, keep reading.
You've been listening to Just the Best Literature on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG, streaming online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.